Thank you, Grant. Thank you very much for that great introduction. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. You managed to weather the frost, Mr. Frosty Man, and came here. So it's so good to see you this morning. Hey, before I get into the message this morning, I have some books that I've written that are going to be available after church just over there. The first one is called Seven Principles of Organization. You can have a read about that, what that's about. A little bit back, whoop, a bit touchy. How are we there, okay? The other book I have is called A New Outpouring. And it basically talks about what I felt the Holy Spirit said, the new outpouring that is coming, and just some of the characteristics of that outpouring, and also how you can prepare for that outpouring. Now, the last book that I've just written, and just got it, boy, what a mission it was. But that's another story. I've just finished it. Do I need to move a bit back? How's that? Bend it. All right. Is it okay? So it just got printed this last week, so it's hot off the press. And it's called Elevation, Preparing for a Powerful Season of Increase. And I'm not going to say anything about that because basically my message is about this book this morning. But Vera, can you come to the front, please? Vera, come to the front, Vera. Give Vera a hand. Now, many of you probably don't know Vera, but now you do know Vera. Here she is. She's one of our long-standing members. How many years have you been here for? Too many to count.
Yes, from the beginning.
Anyway, Vera read my book on a new outpouring, and she just came to me, and she said, I just really touched her heart and spoke to her. I think, and so I really want to give this book to you as a gift from me to you. And we just pray, Lord, that as Vera reads this book, that she would really be encounter you and be encouraged by it in Jesus' name. Amen. Touch it, Lord, and fill your spirit right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh. I knew that was coming. Be filled in Jesus' mighty name. Woo! May that just spread all over the auditorium in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hey, let's get into the message this morning. The word elevation, we're talking about elevation, is a bit of a cliche at the moment. And I get that. But I really felt in my heart God wanted me to write the book on elevation. But elevation is actually a legitimate theme that runs right through the scripture. You may not see the word there, elevation, so much, but it's a theme that runs through the scriptures, as we're going to see this morning. Elevation means to raise, promote, exalt, advance, or increase. And so what happens is that God brings us into seasons of increase in the various areas of our life. For example, He may increase the anointing on your life. He may increase our financial income. How many want your financial income to increase? If you don't, you're not being truthful. I want more money. I do. But I just don't want it for myself. I want it for the kingdom purposes. I want it so I can get on more jet planes and go to the nations. And so He may increase our opportunities. He may increase our ability to lead people to Christ. So those are some examples of increase and elevation. So as I talk about elevation this morning, that's what I mean. And so the title of this message is Six Ways to Elevation. Six ways to elevation. We may not get into all of them. We'll see how we go. But you see, it's not a matter of sitting back and God waving His magic wand and we just end up in elevation. No, there are things we need to do with God to experience elevation. And I'm going to talk about these ways this morning. So number one, the first way to elevation is the wind of God's Spirit. The wind of God's Spirit. Did you know that hummingbirds can flap their wings up to 80 times a second? I didn't say a minute. In fact, I had to check this out a number of times to make sure it's right. So a second is something like this. That's a second. A hummingbird would have flapped its wings up to 80 times. But yet the hummingbird doesn't fly that high. I think it's about 500 feet. However, the eagle, on the other hand, hardly flaps its wings compared to the hummingbird. In fact, sometimes its wings are just like that. That's how we need to learn in the Spirit to get. That's how you flow. Sometimes you just got to... Then other times there's a bit of energy. But the eagle flies a lot higher than the hummingbird. What's the eagle's secret? Its secret is its ability to capture the wind. And the eagle teaches us that the key to elevation is our ability to yield and flow with the wind of the Holy Spirit. You see, you know, the New Testament church, they preached with boldness. They saw extraordinary miracles and healings. Countless people were saved. You know, their prayers and their praise, they shook buildings. They opened prison doors. They caused change to fall out off of them. And cities were impacted. And it even recorded that they turned the world upside down. How was a New Testament church elevated to such heights? The answer is in Acts chapter 2. There came a rushing, mighty wind. You see, you know, a lot of Christians and even church leaders are like hummingbirds, flapping, a lot of flapping going on, a lot of energy expended to somehow try to get to elevation, to somehow try to get to heights, to somehow see that increase in their life. And it's not that we're necessarily doing something wrong. It's just there's fundamentally something missing. It's called the wind of the Spirit of God. But there is a wind. I said, there is a wind coming. There is a wind coming. And this wind is a big wind. A whirlwind. Thank you for helping me preach over there. A tornado wind. This wind is so strong. It is so big. It is so vast that even now we can begin to feel the wind of God coming past us. And this wind will blow over all the earth. I said all the earth, the globe will be touched by this wind. This wind, I believe, will touch every continent on the face of this earth. Africa, China, America. I wouldn't surprise me that this wind will blow into every nation. And this wind is going to blow right down the long cloud of New Zealand. Let the wind blow, God. We need a wind. This nation needs a wind. How many would agree? A wind of God, the wind of God's Spirit, to rush on right through the churches, to blow on right through the government building. I'll say no more about that. This wind is going to make its way into Living Waters Christian Center. Are you ready for the win, people? Are you ready for the win? Because God is preparing us for a wind to come and to come in this place. And this wind will cause us to be elevated into a new place of power, miracles, fruitfulness, and fulfillment of dreams. Get ready for the wind. See, God's getting us ready for the wind. Some of you, God is adjusting because you're not quite positioned right. You're kind of like this. You're not like an eagle. You're like this. You need some adjustment. But God's getting you positioned to catch the wind. That's what God's doing in your life. You're like that. There needs to be some adjustment in character. There needs to be adjustment in your thinking and the wisdom and aligning with the scripture. And then you'll be positioned to catch the wind. God's getting us ready. Are you ready? Here comes the wind. The second way to elevation is perhaps not so exciting. Descending. I just felt like all the air in the building just was popped out. This is going to be some good veggie stuff this morning. Some spinach. Make you like Popeye. Popeye the Sailor Man. See, what do we mean by descending? The idea of descending is that down is the way up. That down is the way to elevation. Let me give you some examples. If we lose our life descending, we will find it elevation. If we die with Christ descending, we will have new life, elevation. If we humble ourselves, descending, He will lift us up. If we serve, descending, we will be great in the kingdom of God. Elevation. You see, it's different from the world's way. If you try to get into the kingdom of God and go the world's way, you won't go up, you'll go down. Because the law of gravity says that what goes up must come down. But the law of the kingdom says what goes down must come up. If you're going down today, if you're descending, and we're going to see more what that's about, know one thing, you might seem like you're going down, you might seem like you're going back, but you're actually going up, 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 up. Some of you, you feel like you're going down, but you're going up. And so what happens is God brings us through seasons of descending to prepare us for the elevation. He brings us through seasons of descending to prepare us for the elevation. Jesus, don't you love Jesus? Jesus is our greatest example of descending. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 10. It'll be up on the screen there. Let me read it to you this morning. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name above all names, and that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and of those in heaven and those in earth and of those under the earth. You see, these words are descending words. Made himself of no reputation. Well, that's not what we often do. Took the form of a bondservant. Humbled himself. Became obedient to the point of death. Those are descending words. You see, Philippians says that Jesus was equal to God. How many know you can't get any higher than that? There's no way past it. But from that place, lofty place, Jesus descended all the way down into a helpless baby, dependent on his parents. And the people that he created, they ridiculed him, they despised him, they tortured him, and eventually they nailed him to a cross. And then he went down to the lower parts of the earth, the Bible says. But then the Bible says, therefore God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, that every knee should bow. You see, Jesus demonstrated that descending is the way to elevation. He didn't just tell us, he showed us. The disciples, they knew what to descend. They knew how to descend. You know, when they had that outpouring in Acts chapter 2, before that, they descended. Jesus left them and he hung on the cross. And when he hung on the cross, all their dreams, all their hopes, everything was on that cross. When Jesus died, the disciples died. Joseph knew what it was to descend. He descended into the pit. He descended into slavery with Potiphar. He descended into the dungeon. And then the Bible says that God elevated him as prime minister. And he was able to save Israel. And because he was able to save Israel, Christ came from Israel. And because Christ came from Israel, countless have been saved. And because countless have been saved, you or I are here today. So yes, absolutely, all most important, let's thank Jesus. But thank you, Joseph, for being obedient. You never know, my friends, what your obedience, how it may affect people's lives. As you obey God, how it can affect people. How can it affect the family around you. How it can affect even the next generation. You know, I've had many descents in my life. I've had a few. And some of them, they're gradual. And some of them, they've been sharp. I remember when I was a younger man in my early 20s, I finished Bible college in New Zealand. And it was a great year. And when I got out of Bible school, I was ready to be the next Billy Graham. Woo! You can see that didn't quite work out. Back in those days, that's what it was. It was Billy Graham, Reinhard Bonnke, Oral Roberts. Anyway, when that idea sort of came out of my mind, I went looking for a job. And I remember I found a job in a food factory. And I remember that when I found out that I got this job, I must have jumped this high. I mean, I was a lot younger and thinner back in those days. But I also remember that the first day I was in this food factory, it was in Mosgiel, I looked around, and most of them were ladies. They carried knives. Well, it was for the veggies, admittedly, but still. And I remember looking around, it was cold, it was wet. This is Dunedin, this is winter. And I was thinking to myself, what am I doing here? And how long am I going to be here? Because that's a question you ask when you're a test. But you know what? I was there in that food factory for 4 long years. I could have got a degree. 4 years. But instead, God got me a degree in character. And I think there's some people here today, you're in a place, you're in a job you hate. You're working with some people you don't like. But God says, just stay there. Because I'm doing a great work in you. I'm doing a great work in you. And many times I wanted to quit that job. I remember going aside at times and tears would come down. And many times I felt like giving up. but I didn't. Another descent I had was in 2006 with my wife Paulette when we started a church in Christchurch. Now, I've shared this story before, but some of you haven't heard it, and I'm looking at it from a different angle. But you know, we started a church, and we started to grow the first few years. And then all of a sudden, unexpectedly, after 4 years, we had a church split. And almost half of the congregation left. How many know that's tough? That's tough for people. That's tough for a pastor. And here's the other thing. That a month later, the Christchurch earthquake happened. So we just had a major church split. And then the earthquake broke out. And the building we had a great auditorium. It seated about 300 people. We were definitely not filling it. We wanted to. We were believing to do that. Well, that was destroyed. And so we had to shift. And we went to another place. It wasn't a great auditorium. And I remember, you know, as a church, we started to grow and then just fell apart and people left. And then we started to grow and then it just kept this little cycle. And I remember sometimes I was preaching to 10 or 15 people. How many know for a preacher, pastor, that's not good for your ego? But it is good for your ego. And so in 2016, we felt God led us to close the church. It was a tough day. It was a humbling day. You see those drums there? Those were ours. You see that those perspex there? That was ours. But you see, here's the thing. To some onlookers, my pastoral experience may have looked like ongoing failure, even to some senior leaders in the church. The problem is this, that sometimes Christians lack the understanding of Jesus. They lack the mind of Christ. They don't understand that the way up is down. And what some didn't realize is that while I was descending, there was a preparation that God was doing for my elevation. While I was descending, I was ascending. In 2013, we were in just a normal church service. And you never know when God's just going to show up. All of a sudden, that Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit moved. And what began a move of the Holy Spirit that lasted for quite a number of months. And I remember the mantle that was on me increased. And heat just for months just run down my shoulders and down my head, and the anointing has been growing ever since. And when we finished our church, I was able to, and also my wife, which is to start traveling overseas and to write books, and really, which is really my number one heart, my number one dream. And so my latest descent began in March 2020. You know what that month is? You know what that, you remember? You remember that? Who remembers March 2020? It was the beginning of a descent. I was writing this book, actually, Elevation. God said to me in January to write it. And so in the lockdown, I remember where I was sitting. I hated the lockdown. I'm sorry. Some people loved it. I don't know what's wrong with you. What's wrong with you? I hated it. But I was writing this book, and the things I was writing about in this book was happening in the world. It's a book for now. It's a book that will tell you what has been going on in your life. And in March 23, we were shifting house. And we got wind that there was a lockdown coming. Some information. I can't tell you how we got it, but we were just in the know. So while we're shifting, we know something's going down. in March 25 was the lockdown. And I remember as I was unpacking my clothes that I would use for overseas ministry trips, I thought to myself, well, when am I going to travel again? I didn't know. Well, I know the answer now. 2 years and 8 months. The end of July. Because you see, you know, I believe, and I've said this before with this whole COVID thing, is that God is watching his earth. And when he said it's time for this thing to finish, it will finish. And that has come to pass. And, you know, many Christians and church leaders in the last 2 years have been descending. Some of you this morning, you've been descending the last few years. The pandemic is now in the background. Everybody say, thank God. Oh, no, you don't mean it. Because yes, I believe we have had something to do with it and blah, 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 blah. But I believe that God has been watching his earth, and ultimately it's because of the hand of God. And so, thank God, it's over. I was in a restaurant just last night, and I was just going in there for something, and there was the big screen, and there was the rugby game going on. That stadium's full, and I thought, thank God. Thank God. And there's no doubt that the devil had a plan in this pandemic. No doubt about it. But also, God had a plan in this pandemic. And his plans will supersede anything the devil will come up with. Yeah. Anything the devil will come up. Job is a classic example. Satan hit him with all sorts of stuff, and God just came along and worked it all for good. Turned it around. And God had a plan, the pandemic. I believe God's plan for the last 2 years was to prepare us for elevation and a powerful season of increase and mighty moves of the Holy Spirit. That's what I believe he's been up to the last couple of years. The third way to elevation is humility. Humility. Again, Jesus is our greatest example. We read in Philippians that Jesus humbled himself. Jesus' life was marked with humility from the beginning to the end. He wasn't born in a palace or a luxury home. He was born in a barn. And he died a shameful death on the cross, which was set aside for the worst of criminals. Yet, as we read before, God highly exalted him. And Jesus demonstrated that humility is the way to elevation. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. There's some here today, you're going through some humble seasons. Maybe a humbling job. How many have been in a humbling job? Or someone has asked you to do something that seems beneath you. Or you've been ridiculed. Whatever it is, as you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, in due season, he will lift you up. The fourth way to elevation, it's going to get deeper here, is the cross season. The cross season. Are you sure you want to be elevated? Are you sure you want that dream to be fulfilled? Because this is the way. This is the journey. Matthew 6, if you want to turn there, Matthew 6, verse 24 and 25 says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself Did you hear that? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And so what happens is God takes us through a cross season. What is a cross season? Let me explain what a cross season is. First of all, it is a place where we surrender our will to God. A place where we surrender our will to God. You know, when Jesus was approaching the cross, he prayed this prayer. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. That's actually quite an amazing prayer. Three times he prayed, I don't want to go to the cross. It's like, is there another way? Is there another way? And yet Jesus said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Sometimes God brings us to a place where we have to choose between our will and God's will. Our plans or God's plans. We want to go one way, God wants to go another way. We want to stay, God wants us to go. We want to go, God wants us to stay. You know what I'm talking about? It's the cross season. Derek Prince, I think, said it like this, the cross is when our will crosses with God. And we're at the crossroad. And we have to make a decision. And I believe there's some people here this morning, you are at the crossroad. Are you going to go God's way? Or are you going to go your way? Your way will not ultimately lead to life. And it's easy. But his way is hard and the road is narrow. But if you follow his way, it'll lead to life. It'll lead to elevation. It'll lead to the purpose of God being fulfilled in your life. Can you say yes? I have found that God's will is far better than my will. Let me say this. If Jesus would not have gone to the cross, he would have avoided the suffering, but he would have lost the salvation. I'll read it again. If Jesus had not gone to the cross, he would have avoided the suffering, but he would have lost the salvation. Or you can miss the cross. You can miss the cross. And you can miss the suffering. But there's something you'll miss out on. There's something God has that you will miss out on. And if you're in a place you're having to choose between your will and God's will, let your declaration to be today, nevertheless, not as I will, but as God wills. And watch and see that how God's ways are higher than our ways. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so is God's ways and so is God's thoughts higher than our thoughts and our ways. The cross season is a place where we deny the self-life. The self-life. What is the self-life? Self-ambition, self-pride, self-glory, self-importance, self-interest, self-righteousness. Are you feeling this now? Self-pleasure. People will be lovers of themselves. Self-pity, self-promotion. Isn't it just sound like yuck? And the problem is that self gets in the way. Jesus said in Matthew 16:24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. And sometimes God brings us a place where he deals with our selfishness. Hey, God wants us to have a successful career, a nice home, good clothes. But sometimes our personal pursuits hinder us from touching the lives of others and fulfilling God's far weightier purposes. The cross is a place where we experience hurt. When Jesus was on the cross, he was being hurt physically and emotionally. And yet, what was Jesus' response? He said three amazing words. He said, "Father, forgive them." Wow. I know what I would have said. Some of it I can't repeat. But it'd be something like, "Father, hit them with a plague that causes them to suffer a miserable death." Oh, you wouldn't say that, would you? Or I can tell you're very spiritual this morning. Until we get out the door. And then the real man or woman begins to appear. Until we get into the office, into the workplace. How spiritual are we then? I can tell that went really, really well. I thought, wow, I could hear the amens. You know, I know you're sitting in your head. I just know you're sitting in your head. You know, we experience hurt because of things like gossip, false accusations, ridicule, harsh comments, misunderstandings, and betrayal. As hard as it may be, our response should always be, "Father, forgive them." And if they just keep hurting us, "Father, forgive them." See, that's the hardest. When people keep hurting us over and over again, it's all right if it's once over, forgive them. But if they just keep hurting us over and over again, just, "Father, forgive them." Now, in some situations, if somebody keeps hurting you, maybe you just need to step away from that person. It's like you have this person in your life, and you go to them, and it's like, you go back to them, you go back to them. Next time you're tempted, my friend, to go back to that person, don't. Don't open up to yourself. In the name of Jesus, right now, I pray there are people here this morning who their attachments and their people in your life, and they are bringing you back. They are bringing you back to them, and it's causing emotional hurt. It's causing emotional abuse. And in the name of Jesus, we break that tie right now in Jesus' name. Today, for some people, is your time. Look, you love everybody, but there are people in your life you have to disconnect yourself from them. That's what I do. Somebody's causing me negative stuff, just move on back. It's called wisdom. Wisdom. If Jesus didn't forgive those who hurt him, he would not have been elevated. If we don't forgive those who hurt us, it will hinder us from being elevated and touching the lives of others. Here's the good news, my friend. After every cross season, there is a resurrection season. Thank God. If you're in the cross season, if you're going down and descending, if you're doing these things, there will become a time where God will roll the stone away and you will rise as a new man or a new woman of God. You will have a new anointing over your life. People will say there is something different about you. Something has changed. There's a new grace. There's a new anointing. There's new power. The fifth way to elevation, we're almost there, is understanding the purpose of elevation. Understanding the purpose of elevation. You see, Jesus didn't come to the earth to gain elevation for himself. He already was in the highest place. He went down and descended to get elevation for you and me, to raise us up. Joseph wasn't elevated for himself, just for himself. He was elevated for Israel. He was elevated so Israel could then have Christ and then people could be saved. When we are elevated in the future, always remember it's to the benefit of others as well as ourselves. Number six, the sixth way to elevation is laying aside sin. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." Because sin is a weight. Sin holds us down. You see, sin brings us down. Adam and Eve, they sinned, and it caused grave consequences. And, you know, scholars call it the time of the fall. It was the fall. But then Jesus came. He died on the cross. He raised us up to be seated with him. He raised us up, and then he gave into righteousness, and then he gave us a grace to live a life of obedience. However, how many know we still sin? Would you raise your hand if you still sin? I'm with good company here. And sometimes that sin can bring us down. Let me give you some examples. Just finishing here this morning. Harbored hurts. See, suffering hurt, it's not a sin, but it can lead us to sin. It can lead us to anger. It can lead us to unforgiveness. It can lead us to bitterness. And of course, from Hebrews 12, we know that bitterness causes a lot of trouble in our life. Another example is materialistic lifestyle. You know, sometimes it's the difference between God's financial blessing and materialism can be a bit blurry. But one of the ways you can tell is that God's financial blessing lifts us up and others up, whereas materialism brings us down and other people down. So, for example, some people, they pursue materialism, they end up affecting their relationships, and they end up affecting the relationship with God. Some people end up in bankruptcy. Some people end up in prison because of mishandling funds. And I'm not just talking about non-Christians. It happens to Christians too. Another example is sexual immorality. Sexual sin can bring people down like few sins can. You know what I'm talking about? Proverbs says, "For she," speaking of the immoral woman, "cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men." And we see many examples of this in the world. Even recently, we see people who have spent decades to build a ministry only in a few days for it to crumble because of sexual immorality. When this happens, what it is, it's an opportunity for us to examine our own heart and deal with any compromise in this area. The last example is pride. Proverbs says, "A man's pride will bring him low." If we allow pride to come into our heart, it will bring us low. Whenever pride comes into our heart, it will cause a loss of some kind. It might be a loss of relationships, because strife, pride causes strife. It might be a loss of income or position, because we arrogantly would listen to the counsel of others. It might be a loss in our anointing. But I got good news for you this morning. Whatever sin you are struggling with, you can reverse the trajectory. What I mean by that word, I mean you can reverse the direction. You can reverse it from going down. You can change it and go up again. And it's by simply turning from that sin, getting help if you need it, and looking to God. Let's stand to our feet this morning. And I have the team up here, please. The worship team. I better be clear which team that is. There's a few teams here this morning. First thing I want to do this morning, I want to give an opportunity to anybody here who may not know the Lord, no, may not know Jesus. Maybe you've come here this morning and you've been thinking about God, you've been thinking about Jesus, people have been talking to you about it, and there's some trouble in your life. There's some problems. And part of the reason is because this thing called sin, and we've talked about this morning, this thing called sin, it's bringing you down. But Jesus came into this world to take that sin away, to cleanse you from that sin, and to break the power of that sin over your life. If you're here today, you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, just raise your hand if that's you. Somebody here, anybody here, for the first time, you want to give your life to Jesus. Just raise your hand, anybody. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, move this morning. There is a wind. Let the wind come, God. Thank you, God, that you are preparing people. You're preparing us for a great day that's ahead. You're getting us ready for an elevation. You're positioning us for the wind. God's at work at people's hearts. Many in this place, God is at work at people's hearts. Some of you wondered what is going on and what's happening, and I believe God is just speaking to people and said, this is what I'm doing in your life. Is there anybody here this morning? You say, Mark, I'm struggling with some sin. And I guarantee you, not a person here will judge you. Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So nobody can get the little pebbles out and, woo, you little sinner, you bad boy. All have sinned. So it means that we're all on the same playing field. All right? We are going to see a move this morning. Whether the devil likes it or not, we will see a move of the Holy Spirit this morning. Are you ready, Mr. Drummer? They've warned you about me. They've warned you about me. Because Phil Smith used to be in our church, and his son played the drums. And he knows how I like the drums to really begin to flow and bring breakthrough this morning. I said he knows how I like to see the drums flow and bring breakthrough. Yes, there is a wind. Are you ready for the wind? Are you ready for the wind? Holy Ghost wind like you have never seen before. Fire like you have never seen before. Here comes the wind. Here comes the wind. Here comes the wind. Yes. You got that other. You got that. Yes, Jesus. Keep playing, man. Keep playing.